It's going to be a lot of golfing for President Obama while he's on vacation in Martha's Vineyard this week. He also took a stack of books with him to read, and the White House has this week given us the playlist in chief.
In the palm of my two hands, hold each other.
Miles Davis, to Van Morrison, to Mary J. Blige. Some might say his playlist is pretty safe, no explicit lyrics, doesn't take too many risks, but maybe that's a discussion for the Obama post-presidency. It's good the president takes a vacation, though, right? Leaders should lead the rest of us by example. Michael Jordan, for instance, promising to take a break after winning the 1991 NBA Finals.
Michael Jordan and the Bulls, you just won your first NBA championship. What are you going to do next?
You're going to Disney World! Yeah!
Now, did he really go to Disney World, or did he just take some promotional fee? Well, it turns out that only half of Americans are actually taking those trips and going to places like Disney World, and it's been a steady decline since 1991. New research suggests that 56% of Americans haven't taken any vacation at all in the last 12 months. And that's 10 million more people than the year before. The U.S. is, after all, the only so-called industrialized nation that doesn't mandate time off. Americans are taking the least amount of vacation in nearly four decades. That's in the numbers, folks. Kathleen Gerson is a sociology professor at NYU who specializes in issues related to work, family, and gender equality. Kathleen, it's good that President Obama takes a vacation and shows that sort of leadership. Well, how come we're not taking the cue from him?
Good question. Were we all presidents? Although I will also say it's probably hard for him to take a vacation as well in this country. Americans have very low expectations about vacation time compared to the rest of the world. Europeans routinely take 4 to 6 weeks. It's mandated. It's expected. No one has to apologize for it. In fact, they probably have to apologize if they don't take it. But there's been a convergence of forces in the U.S., both in terms of employer pressure, employee fear and concerns about losing their jobs or not moving ahead, and just this general notion of the work ethic that has made it very difficult for Americans to start to think systematically and humanistically about how important taking time off is for regenerating our batteries, being productive workers, being good family members, being involved citizens, all those other aspects of life that not only make us a stronger country, but actually make us better, more productive workers.
You know, the media is complicit in this as well. And if we go back to the president, you said it was hard for him to take a vacation. Part of the reason it's hard is that if he's on the golf course and some international crisis erupts, the first thing that happens is, oh, he's on the golf course. He's not paying attention to the affairs of the world. That's the kind of media reporting that you would not see in Europe and in places where vacation is more expected.
Absolutely. That is so true. And it's not only based on a false premise. In fact, someone's best thinking can be done on a golf course or in a swimming pool or reading a book or in the shower. And in fact, when we assume that if one is not physically at work, concentrating directly on that, that somehow we're not being productive, that we're not doing the important work we need to do.
Well, vacation shaming certainly has an impact on people's decisions of how much vacation they're going to take. There's also the question of, economically speaking, they can't afford to take a vacation. Do you think people are catching up from the financial downturn, that they want to constantly try to stay ahead and are in a state of fear about taking too much vacation?
Well, in some sense, it would actually be good news if this were simply a matter of recovering from a temporary downturn. But unfortunately, we've seen these trends happening for decades now, and they seem to be intensifying. The downturn certainly didn't help. I'm sure it did contribute to it. But underneath the short-term economic ups and downs, what we have is a growing sense of concern and fear, not simply about moving ahead, but keeping one's job, and that notion that if you can't, it's not simply a matter of how hard are you working. It's being able to prove how hard you're working. So it really is time, I think, for Americans to rethink this notion of work and life. We see this in surveys everywhere. If you ask workers and even managers what their ideal would be, they all espouse a balanced notion that being a good worker also means having a full and integrated life. Unfortunately, when you ask them what they do or what they think their options are, for almost everyone says, this is not something that I can achieve. In a better world, this would be my goal. But if I can't achieve this, then my priority has to be able to keep my job to prove that I'm a good worker.
Now, Kathleen, can I ask you a personal question?
Of course.
You're a professor of sociology at NYU, right?
Yes.
Do you have tenure?
I do.
And you still have this problem? Oh, my God.
Exactly. In fact, people look at me and say, and don't quite understand it. And part of it is that the process that we have of building careers takes its toll over time, so that by the time that you may achieve a measure of security, if you're lucky to do so in this society, and that's getting harder and harder, you've internalized these pressures, these expectations. I don't want to go too far because I personally love my work, but I'm always amazed when I'm forced, usually by events beyond my control. For example, I recently took a brief vacation to attend and oversee my daughter's wedding. And I have to admit, it was hard to pull back from work. But once I was there, I realized how important it is for all of us to do that.
Well, I just have to say, I prescribe for you, Kathleen Gerson, a year's sabbatical in Tuscany with at least a month of time off there.
Well, thank you very much, and I will tell my employer that right away. But I promise you this, if I do spend that year, I'll probably be sitting at my desk reading, writing, doing research.
Kathleen Gerson is a professor of sociology at NYU. Have a great summer, Kathleen.
Thank you so much, and you too.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.